داود صف رسول الله، داود صف رسول الله، the blessings of رياض الصالحين، the blessings of رياض الصالحين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, the supplication remains suspended between the sky and the earth until you recite salat on your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers, today our silsila is about the excellence of truthfulness. Truthfulness is one of the most important quality of every Muslim. That's why it has been emphasized in Quran and Hadith upon it. There are many kinds of truthfulness. The first kind is being truthful in speaking. It means when a person speaks, he should speak truth. And he shouldn't tell a lie anytime and anywhere. And the second kind of truthfulness is being truthful in promises. The promises a person has between him and the other people are a promises which a person has between him and Allah Almighty. What are the promises of Allah Almighty? There are two kinds of this kind of promises. The first kind, and that is the most important thing, when a person becomes Muslim or he is born as a Muslim and he knows that he is a Muslim, he has many promises with Allah Almighty, because the meaning of Islam is obeying Allah Almighty in all the aspects of life. When a person becomes Muslim, he promises Allah Almighty that he will follow the guidance of Allah and he will imitate the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will act upon the commandments of Sharia. He will offer prayer, he will perform Hajj, he will fast in Ramadan, and he will give his wealth in charity. These are the promises of a person with Allah Almighty when he becomes a Muslim. And the other promises, that he will fulfill all the rights of Allah as well as the rights of human beings. Because fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of human beings are also necessary, and that is also kind of truthfulness. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has written in Ihya al-Ulum and Qima al-Sa'adat some other kinds of truth. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has said that there are six kinds of truthfulness. The first kind is speaking truth, being truthful in speaking. It means the tongue of a person should be habitual of speaking truth, and he shouldn't tell a lie anywhere and in any occasion. And the second kind of truthfulness is being truth in intentions. Being truthful in intention means that when a person worships Allah Almighty and he does any religious thing, that thing should be only for the sake of Allah Almighty. And there shouldn't be any showing off that a person is offering prayer, but his intention is only show to the people. So there shouldn't be any showing off in the actions of a person. That is the truthfulness of intentions. That is the second kind of truth. The third kind is being truthful in taking some decisions. When we take some decision that we will do it and we will worship Allah, we will remember Allah, we will recite the Holy Quran. When we take any decision, particularly about the matters of worshipping of Allah, we should be firm in that and we should be truthful in that. It means there shouldn't be any hesitation in that. Sometimes we say that I will worship Allah, and sometimes we say I may not worship Allah. Sometimes we say I will offer 5-time prayers, and sometimes we say I may not offer 5-time prayers. So this hanging position and this hesitation is a hurdle against truthfulness in making any decision. So that is a third kind of truthfulness, that a person should be truthful in taking any decision of worship. The fourth kind is being truthful in practicing according to decision. It means when we decide something that we will do this and that, and the time of practicing according to our decision comes, we should do, we should worship, we should offer prayer, we should do according to our decision. For example, at night when we go to bed, we decide and we are firm in our decision that we will offer prayer, we will offer Fajr prayer, we will wake up at Tahajjud prayer and we will offer Tahajjud prayer. But when the Tahajjud time comes and when the Fajr time comes, and if we are waking up at that time, we switch off the alarm and we go to bed again and we sleep again. It means this person is not truthful in his practicing and in his practicing according to his decision. So that is the fourth kind of truthfulness. The fifth kind is that truthfulness in all the practices. It means the internal condition and the external conditions of a person should be same. Those conditions should be alike. It shouldn't happen then a person is claiming that I have khushu and khuzu in my heart, but when he offers prayer, there isn't any khushu, there isn't any khuzu. It means he is not truthful according to his heart and according to his external and internal conditions. For example, many people say that we offer our prayer by heart, but when we see those people, we see that they offer prayer without any particular manners. It means if they don't offer prayer according to the manners of prayer, they don't have any khushu in their hearts as well. The sixth kind of truthfulness is that a person should be truthful in getting reality of all the qualities of thee. Getting reality of all the qualities of deen means that we say we have the fear of Allah in our hearts, we have a proper respect of Allah in our hearts, we hope only from Allah Almighty, and we trust in Allah only, and we are agree with the every decision of Allah. We claim this and we say by our tongue these words. Do we have the reality of these words, and do we have the meanings of these words in our heart as well? Because when a person fears someone, he tries to obey him, he tries to save himself from his disobedience, and the other signs are open and everyone knows the signs of fear and respect and trust and the other things. When we say that we have fear of Allah in our hearts, do our actions show that fear? When we say that we have respect of Allah in our hearts, in the actions of life, in the aspects of life, in the walks of life, so through these qualities we can judge ourselves. That when we say we are truthful in these qualities, do our actions show the reality of these qualities? These are the six kinds of truthfulness, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has written that these are the real qualities and these are the real kinds of truthfulness. Allah Almighty said in the Holy Quran, and he emphasizes upon the importance of being truthful, he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, be afraid of Allah and be with those who are true. In this verse, Allah Almighty is saying that be afraid of Allah. It means have a piety of Allah. Be a pious person. Allah Almighty told us that وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ and be with those who are true. It means the method of getting piety is the company of the pious people. When a person sits in the company of the pious people and on the virtuous people, he gets the piety. In the next verse, Allah Almighty said, وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ the men and women who are truthful. So, what thing and what reward is for these people, الصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ So, Allah Azza wa Jal at the end of the verse said, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا Allah Almighty has prepared forgiveness and the big reward for these people. It means the forgiveness and the big reward, the great reward of Allah is for those people who are truthful, whether those are men or women. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the importance of sidq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna sidqa yahdi ilal bir, wa inna al birra yahdi ilal jannah." وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَصْدُقُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا وَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا He said, truth leads to piety and piety leads to Jannah. A man persists in speaking the truth till he is enrolled with Allah as a truthful. Then he said, falsehood leads to vice and vice leads to the hellfire. And a person persists on telling lies until he is enrolled as a liar. In this hadith, two things are described. The first thing, that Allah Almighty loves those people who are truthful in their actions and in their sayings. And Allah likes the truthfulness. And the second matter is, that the truthfulness is the base of every virtue. When a person becomes truthful in his sayings and in his actions, this habit leads him towards virtue and piety. And that piety and virtuousness leads that person to Jannah, to paradise. On the other hand, Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes those people who are liar and who are habitual of telling lie. And telling a lie is the root cause of every evils. Because when a person becomes liar in his deeds and in his sayings, so this habit leads him to the hellfire. And this habit leads him to the vice, to the disobedience of Allah Almighty. And when a person becomes liar, so he becomes the disobedient person of Allah in the every aspect of life. That's why when a person becomes disobedient of Allah, then he goes to the hellfire, as it is mentioned in this hadith. In another hadith, in the light of that hadith, the next hadith, we can recognize the importance of truthfulness. That what is the importance of truthfulness in Islam from the first day? In the time when there was an agreement of Hudaybiyah between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the infidels, during that period, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent one letter to Heraclius, the king of Rome. When Heraclius received the letter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called any person who belongs to Makkah. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not Muslim at that time, he was in Rome that time, and he was invited by Heraclius to his court. He went there. Heraclius asked him about the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked him, what are the teachings of that person who claimed as a prophet? Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu answered him, and we can see the importance of the basic teachings of Islam in the light of this hadith. Abu Sufyan answered him that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, worship Allah alone and do not associate a thing with him, and give up all that your ancestors said. He also commands us to perform salah, to speak the truth, to observe modesty, and to strengthen the ties of kinship. This hadith is in Bukhari and in Muslim. In this hadith, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not Muslim that time and who was infidel, he is telling Heraclius the basics of Islam. And we can know the fundamentals of Islam in the light of this hadith. The first thing is having belief in the oneness of Allah. And the second thing is offering 5-time prayers. Third, speaking truth. Fourth, modesty. And the fifth is having good relations with our relatives. First thing, having belief in the oneness of Allah. So every Muslim has this belief in the oneness of Allah. There is no doubt about any Muslim that he doesn't have this belief. But this belief, the oneness of Allah, this belief requires us something. It demands us something. It demands many things. There are many requirements of this belief. Most of the people are at the lowest level, and they are at the minimum level of this belief of oneness of Allah Almighty. And the second matter, which is the first duties of a Muslim, that offering 5-time prayers. And not only offering 5-time prayers, those prayers should be with complete manners, the comprehensive manners. Those prayers should be according to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the conditions of most of the Muslims? Our condition is this, that we leave our prayers due to our sleep, due to our business, due to our family, due to our friends, and due to our family functions, and due to some other matters. We can't sacrifice our sleep for Fajr prayer. We can't sacrifice 5 to 10 minutes of our business and job for our Zuhr prayer. We can't sacrifice 10 minutes for Asr prayer. We can't sacrifice 10 to 20 minutes of our sitting with our family or sitting with our friends for Isha prayer. So when this is our condition, how can we say and how can we claim that we are true Muslims and we have the spirituality of Islam and Iman? And the third thing, which is mentioned in this hadith, that he commands us truthfulness, being truthful in every matter of life. And what is our condition in this quality, in our common conversation, in our common talking, in our business, in our job, in our relations with our colleagues, the relations between wife and husband? Most of the people, they are used to telling lie, and they are habitual of lying in their common matters, in their business, in their tradings, in their family matters, in their other matters of life. They are habitual of telling lie in all the matters. And the next, modesty. Modesty is one of the central qualities of Islam. And what is the condition of modesty in Muslims nowadays? Everyone can understand very easily that due to net, due to TV, due to dramas, due to our markets, due to our co-educations, due to our schools, due to our environments, modesty has disappeared from our environment and from the lives of the Muslims. And these were the main qualities of a Muslim. These were the central qualities of a Muslim. And the last quality, which has been mentioned in this hadith, that having good relations with our relatives. Where are the good relations? Most of the time, the people are opportunist. If they have any benefit with any relative, then they will go to there. And if they don't have any benefit they can't get any benefit from their relatives, they will not go to that relative. So our relations belongs to our benefits. Our relations depend upon our benefits. If we have any benefit from someone, we will go to that person. Otherwise, we will not go to that. So these were the main qualities of Islam, and particularly being truthful, which has been disappeared from our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq of being truthful in all the qualities, in all the kinds. The next chapter of Riyadus Salihin is Muraqabah, the watchfulness. The meaning of watchfulness here is that a person should think and he should ponder upon this matter, that Allah Almighty is with us by His knowledge and by His power. Because when a person thinks about this, that Allah Almighty is with him every time by His knowledge and by His power, this thought will make him away from the disobedience of Allah Almighty. And that's why Allah Almighty told us in the Holy Quran this matter many times. In one place, Allah Almighty said, Surah Al-Hadid, verse number 4, He said, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ, and He is with you by His knowledge, wheresoever you may be. Wherever you are, Allah Almighty is with you by His knowledge. It means He is watching you, He is seeing you, He is listening to you everywhere. Wherever you are, Allah Almighty is seeing you and He is listening to you. And in the other verse, Allah Almighty said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Truly, nothing is hidden from Allah in the earth or in the heaven. And in the other verse, Allah Almighty said, Verily, your Rabb is ever watchful over them. And in the other verse, Allah Almighty said, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the breast conceal. The last verse of the Holy Quran, if we ponder upon it, and if we think about it, we can become a pious person. We can have the fear of Allah in our hearts. Because Allah Almighty is saying, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. Allah knows the fraud of the eyes. Because many times we commit any sin, or we see any marriageable woman, and there is a fraud in our eyes or in our hearts. No one knows that. No one is seeing us. No one is watching us. No one is listening us. But we have this belief that Allah Almighty is watching us that time. He is seeing us at that time. And He knows the fraud of our eyes and our hearts. We can conceal the desires of our hearts from the people. We can conceal the bad desires of our hearts from the worldly people. But we can't conceal these desires from Allah Almighty. Because يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the breast conceal. So if a person thinks about these verses of the Holy Quran, he becomes pious person very easily. And this is the base of taqwa. This thought and this belief is the base of taqwa. What is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa, the meaning of taqwa is saving. From what? Saving from the hellfire. Saving from the displeasure of Allah. Saving from the evils. Saving from the shaitan. Saving from the everything which is harmful for a person in hereafter. So saving a person from these things is called piety and taqwa. And Allah Almighty emphasized in the Holy Quran most of the time only upon taqwa and piety. In one place, Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. It means you should fulfill the duty of fearing from Allah Almighty. And in the next verse, Allah Almighty explained the meaning of that verse. He said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So keep your duty to Allah and fear Him as much as you can. Fear Allah as much as you can. It means Allah Almighty didn't ordain us those things which are not in our power, which we can't do. Allah Almighty ordained us all the things which we can do very easily. We can offer prayer. We can perform Hajj. We can fast in Ramadan. We can give our wealth in charity. We can follow the guidance of Allah Almighty. We can imitate the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. We can all these things. So Allah Almighty ordered us to do those things which are in our power, which are in our control. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعَتُمْ Fear Him as much as you can. And in the other verse, Allah Almighty said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ And whosoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to Him, He will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. And He will provide him with subsistence from sources he never could imagine. If we think about the meaning of this verse, we can come to know that the benefit of taqwa, which Allah Almighty explained in this verse, He is saying that Allah Almighty will make a way. Through that, we can come out from our difficulties. The difficulties of our life, the difficulties of our subsistence, the difficulties of our family and the other matters. We can come out from these difficulties when we adopt the piety of Allah Almighty. And in the other verses of the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned many benefits of piety. In one verse, Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ If you fear Allah, He will grant you furqan, a criterion to judge between right and wrong, and will expiate for you your sins and forgive you. And Allah is the owner of the great bounty. In this verse, three benefits have been mentioned. The first benefit, Allah will give criterion, the power of judgment between right and wrong. The second, expiation of sins. Allah Almighty will forgive the sins of the pious person. And the third benefit, that the great bounty of Allah will be given to the pious person. And in other verses, Allah Almighty mentions many benefits of piety, which Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh has written in Minhajul Abidin. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh has written the 12 benefits of piety in Minhajul Abidin. And he mentions every verse of the Holy Quran first, then he has written the benefit derived from that verse. So I will only summarize the benefits of those verses. The first is that Allah praises the pious people. The second, Allah saves the pious people from the enemies. Allah helps those people. Allah will provide them with subsistence. Allah will save them from the horrible things of the day of judgment. Allah will expiate the sins of the pious people. Allah will make them as their friend. Allah will accept their good deeds. Allah will give them the proper respect. And the angels give them the glad tidings of Jannah. And those people will be saved from the hellfire. And these pious people will enter paradise. They will enter the gardens of Jannah. These are the benefits of piety and taqwa of Allah Almighty. May Allah give us tawfiq of taqwa and sabr and sidq and the other qualities of Islam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The words of Rasulullah. The words of Rasulullah. The blessings of Riyadh al-Salihin, the blessings of Riyadh al-Salihin.